The readings today draw us to reflect on how we are called to act as Christians toward those who belong to other faiths or even to no faith. In the Catechism, paragraph 360 points out the ways in which all people are united, quoting from Pope Pius XII, "A wondrous vision which makes us contemplate the human race in the unity of its origin in God, in the unity of its nature, composed equally in all men of a material body and a spiritual soul, in the unity of its immediate end and its mission in the world, in the unity of its dwelling, the earth, whose benefits all men by right of nature may use to sustain and develop life, in the unity of its supernatural end, God himself to whom all ought to tend, in the unity of the means for attaining this end, in the unity of the redemption wrought by Christ for all. We are united by origin, united by nature, united by our mission in the world. We share the same dwelling, share the same final destination, and share in the redemption of our one Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Our first reading today is from chapter 56 of Isaiah. This section of the book is addressed to the exiles who have returned from Babylon. They must deal with foreigners who have moved into their cities while they were away. These final chapters of the book deal with the way in which God will fulfill his promises to the chosen people, restoring justice and right judgment, providing salvation and deliverance. This section of the book also expands the vision of salvation, emphasizing that the people of Israel were chosen to be light to the nations so that God's salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. They should not be surprised that when others see that light, they will respond to God's invitation as well. Thus, foreigners, faithful to the divine commands, are brought to the temple by God and joined to the covenant community of Israel. In a similar way, we as Catholic Christians must recognize that God invites all people to join us. Our duty is to provide the light that will attract them by the way we live our lives, both publicly and privately. Paragraph 2105 of the Catechism states, "The social duty of Christians is to respect and awaken in each person the love of the true and the good. It requires us to make known the worship of the one true religion which subsists in the Catholic and Apostolic Church. Christians are called to be a light to the world. Thus, the Church shows forth the kingship of Christ over all creation and in particular over human societies." In our gospel today, the kingship of Christ is demonstrated under unusual circumstances. Jesus has withdrawn from Galilee to the cities of Tyre and Sidon. They were located in what is now Lebanon on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. This area was at one time the northernmost expanse of Israel under King David. It would not be surprising that Jesus and his disciples would meet a Canaanite woman of the district. Her interaction with Jesus was surprising. Earlier in Matthew's gospel, Jesus criticized the cities of Judah by saying, "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the deeds of power done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes." This suggested that Jesus had witnessed faith among the pagans that was lacking in Israel. The woman begs Jesus to heal her daughter, pleading, "Lord, help me." Jesus says to her, "It is not right to take the food of the children and throw it to the dogs." He is intentionally testing her. She replies with humility, "Please, Lord, for even the dogs eat the scraps that fall from the table of their masters." Acknowledging her faith, he grants her request, and her daughter is saved. In all the Gospels, there are just two times when Jesus can be said to lose an argument. This story is one of those. The other is at the wedding feast of Cana, when his mother points out that there is no more wine. Even though he responds, "My time has not yet come," he fulfills the request of his mother. In both stories, Jesus is prompted to act by the faith of a woman who brings her need to him. Jesus had told his disciples that his mission was to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Yet the woman's faith showed the light of this mission was also intended to bring pagans and foreigners to the faith. When all of humanity shares basic needs for food, shelter, family, and community, that light draws all humanity to Jesus Christ. Our second reading is from St. Paul's letter to the Romans. Paul has reminded his Gentile readers that he himself is a Jew, part of the remnant of Israel. He has not had much success convincing his fellow Jews that Jesus is the Messiah that they have been waiting for. However, the unbelief of the Jews has paved the way for the preaching of the gospel to the Gentiles and for their easier acceptance of it outside the context of Jewish culture. Paul believes that once all embrace it, all Gentile nations have heard the gospel, Israel as a whole will also embrace it. He reminds them of the universal call to receive the grace of God. Just as you once disobeyed God, but have now received mercy because of their disobedience. So they have now disobeyed in order that by virtue of the mercy shown to you, they too may now receive mercy. For God delivered all to disobedience that he might have mercy upon all. St. Paul has insisted in this letter that all humans, Jews and Gentiles, are sinful and that all who come into God's family must do so based on sheer grace and mercy. What we are seeing in the present passage is, in fact, his final resolution of the problem which is bound to occur when God decides to act for the salvation of the world through a people who are themselves part of the problem, as well as the bearers of the solution. It had to be like this. Only so could the Creator God be true to his creation, the Covenant God be true to the covenant. This is the way in which God is righteous or just. He invites all people to believe in his Son. We who believe and act in that belief through our love and humility become the light that can bring that faith to others.